I want you to look at the bulletin one more time, the scripture lesson printed there, and there's reason why some texts are highlighted in bold, because these are the almost the same words that of the songs that you're about to hear. It's from Handel's Messiah. I want you to listen to these songs before I proceed with my sermon. Okay? And if you look at the bolded letters, you'll see that they're the same. I listened to this Handel's Messiah, and I thought it's very appropriate for us to listen to this morning, those songs. I think this is almost word for word adaptation of the Gospel according to Luke. Anyway, in the story of, by the way, for the young Christians, if you want to count certain words that I say throughout my sermon, And I'm going to ask you if you could count how many times I say angels. Let me know at the end of the service how many times I say angels. Anyway, through the story of the shepherds and angels, I'm going to talk about three things. The first one is that salvation is for all, and the second one is that the sharing of the good news is entrusted with us, and the third one I'm going to talk about peace on earth. Salvation is the greatest and the best news ever in human history. Why? Because it's God's gift for all people, and it matters for eternity. If you think of some precious gift or greatest news you've ever received, what would it be? Now, if you think of the Christmas gifts that you give to your children, and they say that, you know, children love to have those toys and whatever they receive, but it doesn't last long. They say maybe a couple of days, and sometimes just the weekend after, they don't pay attention to the gifts and toys they received. I thought about other gifts, such as health and life. Yes, we appreciate God for granting us another day of health as well as life. But even though we have a good life, a healthy life, if you're healthy, maybe up to 80 years and sometimes 90 years old, then if you are strong, extra healthy, then I've seen some individuals make up to 100 years old. But even that one doesn't last either. Maybe 100 years, but that's all. But this God's gift, the salvation, that matters for eternity. With no exception, and the best part is that absolutely offered free to all of those people who take it. And everyone is invited to take this one, salvation, and you don't have to bring $1 million to get this one. No money is required. You don't have to be a CEO of, you know, Fortune 500 companies either. And you don't have to even graduate from the elementary school to receive this gift of salvation. And one thing God asks you to bring is this, faith. Do you believe what God packaged in this gift, and will you take it? And here in the story, its greatness of the salvation was modestly put this way. Good news of great joy. King James Version says, good tidings of great joy. What do you think angel was referring to here in this story? The good tidings of great joy. The birth of our Savior, the Christ the Lord, is good news and great joy to everyone. Now think of it for a while. The birth of the Savior for all was a culmination of God's mysterious salvation plan for humanity. Why it was called mysterious, a mystery of God? Because not only was hidden from people, but also the way God put forth his salvation through the forgiveness of sins and in Jesus, the Son of God, by his own death on the cross. That's why it was called mystery. Now, this salvation plan was conceived by God alone and laid out by God alone and revealed by God alone and executed by God alone. It was done in God's time. They call it Kairos. In particular time, 2,000 years ago in the Roman Empire, in the city of Bethlehem. And it was done in God's way. Virgin birth, with no man's help. God's Son was born. And it was exclusively done for God's glory and solely prepared for our spiritual necessity. There was a gentleman whose name is Roy Lesson. He is the founder of the Christian greeting card company called Dayspring. He puts our needs of our salvation well in his poem entitled, God Sent Us a Savior. Listen to this. He wrote, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. This Christmas, folks, let's not forget that this salvation through Jesus is for all people, not just for a few chosen ones, not just for the Jews, not just for the Gentiles, but for all. Salvation is God's free gift for all. Everyone needs it, and everyone needs to take it. I'm not saying that the Bible never says that everyone will be saved, but they have to take it before it happens. Because God never, He just offers and lets you decide. However, everyone cannot take it until they hear about the gospel first. And they won't hear about it unless someone goes out to them and tell them. And that's why God wants you and me, He just appoints you and me to be the messengers, the instrument of passing of the great news onto the person next to us. And that leads us to the next point, which is the sharing of the great news. Now think with me, the way God's great news and the good news was shared and spread in human history, it was like this. God started it, He passed the good news to the angels, and the angels passed to the shepherds, and the shepherds passed on to the family of Jesus and beyond. Or think this way, Jesus started it, and He passed on to the apostles, and the apostles passed on to the early church, and later on, all the people became missionaries and beyond. Now, I would call this process of sharing the gospel the sharing chain of the gospel. Now, this chain, like a prayer chain in the church, has been going on for the past 2,000 years all over the world. Very likely, someone in our lives passed the great news on to us that we became a believer in Christ. The same chain of sharing should not stop with us. Wouldn't you agree? It must go on to the next person. Now think about today's text one more time. The angels were told by God the great news of Christ's birth, and they passed the great news on to the shepherds, and the shepherds then passed it on to the family of Jesus, and both of them, the angels and the shepherds, heard and passed on to others as exactly as they had been told. That should be the role model for our witnessing. You don't have to reinvent the story. Just pass along what you heard. You know, sometime in your life, the gospel story was brought to you by someone, whether your parents or friends or grandparents. Then you have met the Lord and you have seen Him and touched Him and heard Him and experienced the Lord Jesus. And then you pass it on to the next person. And that's how it goes with the gospel sharing. We tell others in the same way that we were told. Let's do some reality check, though. How many of us, actually, when it comes down to sharing the gospel, many of us stay mum? We, in fact, have trouble sharing the good news with others in the name of, oh, we don't want to push the religion to others. Some of us are even afraid of sharing of Christ's great love for all. And some of us say that, oh, wait a minute, we'd rather share our faith quietly, through our silent witness of love. Sounds wonderful, isn't it? Now, the point is that the question we must ask is, does it work well? When was the last time you brought one soul to Christ through your silent witness of love? You know, I thought about the same question. When was the last time someone looking at Pastor Choi's love and he decided, I want to become a Christian? I've been a pastor for almost a quarter century. You know, to my great, great surprise, there are only two people. You think, that's not too bad, Pastor Choi. But at the rate, whoa, 25 years, two people. Don't get me wrong, folks. Witnessing to the name of Jesus through our life examples works. It does. And God uses your love and mine to bring people to Christ. And I do not negate its value. However, that's not the main way God's people and God wants us to share the good news with others. You know what the main way God wants us to share God's great news? Open your mouth and proclaim it. That's what it is. Now, think with me. All the examples in the New Testament, how the disciples of Jesus Christ took God's love and the gospel to the world. They were a loud bunch who proclaimed Jesus' name in the marketplace, not in the hiding in someone's, you know, private home, and not quietly, but aloud. And they talked to people in public, and they turned the world upside down in the name of Jesus. Now, had they chosen to witness Jesus' name through their silent love, I'm afraid, and in fact, a lot of us would not have heard the gospel yet and still living in darkness without knowing Jesus. In my own case, my brother invited me to church in the name of Jesus. And in fact, I'm so glad that he did not choose to witness to me through his love, if you know what I mean. Sharing the good news with others is like this. Sharing the victory of your favorite baseball team or football team. I'm speaking to Tim here, Tim Gallagher. What's your favorite team?
Philly Eagles,
right. There we go. Imagine that your favorite team, the Phillies, won the World Series. Okay? Imagine the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Now, you would not silently share your great joy for your team, would you? You would call around everyone you know and even throw a party to celebrate your joy with others. Why then? Why don't we do the same, or if not greater things, with the great news of salvation that matters to all for eternity? Something to think about. In today's story, I see the same excitement and joy among the angels and the shepherds on the night of Christ's birth. They both were so excited that they could not and did not keep the news to themselves. And instead, they right away passed the great news of salvation onto others with great joy and enthusiasm. The chain of good news is still expanding and growing today. And you are one of the links of the salvation chain. So am I. Let's not be the last link. When my brother passed the good news to me, the good news did not stop there. I too passed it on to others and still do with a great conviction that Christ is the best gift I can ever give to anyone. This is what's going to happen on the day of judgment, folks. Together, you and I will stand before God with those folks who received the great news from us. And this is what they're going to say to God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me into heaven and the great news through you put your name. They will stand right beside you and appreciate God for using you to bring the great news to them. And God will say to all of us, well done, my good and faithful servants, enter into my rest. The third point of my sermon this morning is peace on earth. When it comes down to peace in the world, too often our hearts get disturbed and discouraged with what's going on in our world. Let me begin with Ebola. Were you scared? I was. Some of us still very cautious. What about the news of kidnapping and bombings in Nigeria by Boko Haram and Al-Shabaab? Michael Brown, Eric Garner, and Tamir Rice. Did you hear another story of the school shooting in Portland, Oregon, a couple of days ago? And a couple of years ago, I even read a story of a six-year-old boy in Texas whose father carved a pentagram on the back of his son with a utility knife. Whenever I hear and read this kind of news, I cry out unto the Lord, what's going on in the world? Not to mention all other troubles going on in the Middle East, Israel, Syria, Iran, Iraq, and ISIS. The list goes on. My heart literally aches and cries out for the peace in the entire world. Not just for the peace in America, not in just in Africa, but every single corner of the world and in every single home in that matter. Peace on earth, peace for all. I'm sure you share the same feelings like I do. We all cry out to God for peace among all people. We all ask God in our hearts such questions as, Lord, when and how long should he wait for peace for all? This is how I see it. You know, they talk about the police brutality and somehow reformation of the system may reduce that. Even the Among the Nations peace treaty will help a little too. And some folks out there believe that we can establish peace on earth without God and without depending on God. Well, I disagree entirely because we need God. The world already tried to achieve peace in the past century through the League of Nations, didn't we? And we failed miserably to prevent the World War II. Even with the new United Nations, the system we all know is broken and not working well. Peace, in my humble opinion, never comes from human schemes or agreements. Peace, to me, is a heart issue. Therefore, it must come from God, who is in the business of dealing with and changing the hearts of human beings. Unless there is a change of heart among us, I don't think there will be a lasting peace among us. Unless there's a fear of the Lord in everyone's heart. Fear of the Lord doesn't mean that I'm so afraid of God. No, that's not it. Fear of the Lord is healthy reverence and awareness that if I do something wrong, God will hold me accountable. That's the fear of the Lord. If there's a fear of the Lord in everyone's heart, by the way, that deters us from doing what is evil. Then there will be peace. Otherwise. And unless Christ's love rules in our hearts, that will help us not to do anything harmful to our neighbors. Unless we do have all these things, fear of the Lord and the Christ love in us, and change of heart, I don't see any permanent peace. And that's why I say to all people that only Christ is the answer. By the way, did you know the title for the Christ is that Prince of Peace? And he's the one who refused to use a sword, even though he was perfectly capable of doing it and using it when he was arrested. So we all know that when Christ returns, God's permanent and everlasting peace will prevail in the world. Until then, we ought to live as peacemakers wherever we are. Did you know that Christ has called us to be the peacemakers? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Matthew 5:9. We must bring Christ's peace wherever we go. Now, don't start with the world peace, folks. I know you're very ambitious. But begin with a small, in your own heart, asking the question, do I have peace in my life, in my heart? Am I at peace with God? Is my sins forgiven by God? And if you have peace in your heart and expand it to your homes and families, is everyone in my family at peace with God? Do we have peace in our family? Then if you achieve that, just extend it to workplaces and schools and churches and our communities and beyond. This is my prayer for everyone. This Christmas may be the birth of Christ in our hearts and in our families. This Christmas may the birth of Christ be the greatest joy you've ever had. And this Christmas may the Lord help us to be the excited bringers of good tidings to others, the birth of Jesus the Christ. And this Christmas, may the peace of Christ keep our hearts and minds. Let's bow our heads and pray. We yearn for the world peace, Lord. We yearn for everyone to get along with each other without hurting, without killing, without hating. But the news we hear every single day is the opposite. Christmas time, our hearts go out to those folks, families, who long for peace and tranquility in their own lives, in their families, and in their communities, and in the entire world. That's why Christ has come. But the peace will not prevail in the world until everyone has peace with God, have the fear of the Lord, and love one another as Christ has loved us. So this Christmas, Lord, help us to start a peace within our own heart and our own families. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.